Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. I'm Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Doug.
We have a special guest today. We're going to call her Dr. Beth. She's a doctor, and she's got a problem here in Michigan about the Bethany Christian Services. And when this came to our attention, it happened to align with the research that the Miners are doing with Michael. And so we are going to basically tell you some things that you might be a little bit shocked by. But if you've been following us for a while, you know that the American intelligence media has already revealed the horrifying, and I have to underscore that, horrifying statistics involving child trafficking. And in fact, I'm going to now create a backdrop and frame this issue so that then when we start talking about this local problem, you will understand why I say that it's horrifying. Okay, first off, Bethany Christian Services has had so many charges against them for child trafficking, for catching children, as they call it, for grabbing children in any refugee country that they can, especially Ethiopia, or children coming across the border. And please remember that in America, 800,000 people come up missing each year, the majority of them young people. And across the border, just last year, 250,000 unaccompanied adults came across the border. Now, you've seen the pictures where they get put on airplanes and buses and they get sent off. Where are they going? There are no government agencies. There are no government facilities for these children. If a child is, in fact, orphaned, they go to a foster home generally. These foster homes are so notorious. I used to work with many of them, and they are just about the worst place you can send a person, worse than prison. And how many children come up missing from those foster homes and non-government organization facilities that hold these children? 65%. In other words, these children are being child trafficked out of the very groups, whether they be adoption centers, what we used to call orphanages, which there are none of those now, whether they be foster homes or group homes, it doesn't matter. 65% of them come up missing. Now, I'm going to frame why I'm going to state that point blank, Bethany Christian Services child traffics. Why? Because all you have to do is go on the internet in 10 minutes, do a few searches on their name and put the word corruption after it, and you will see more articles than you have time to read. So what do they do? Well, let me give you a bit of a picture. When we were revealing what the refugee status is, when refugees come into this country, a child who is supposedly a refugee seeking asylum from a foreign country is brought here by government money, and then they're paid literally, this is how bad it is, to travel from the airport to one of these adoption centers. If it's a baby, they charge $2,500. How much do they pay the adoption centers per month? $3,800 as the average. In other words, you're talking about $40,000 to $50,000 a year per child in each adoption center. So if they are refugees coming from a foreign country, and 25% of all the children that are coming into this country as refugees are children, very small children, and they come from, of course, Ethiopia. This is one of the main places that Bethany Christian Services draws their children down. But now, because of Obama and then being reinstated by Biden's policies, which follow Obama's policies, you have 250,000 unaccompanied youth coming across the border. Where do they go to these adoption centers? Bethany is 75 years old. It's the oldest and the biggest, and they handle more children than any other adoption center. But you're not going to get their numbers from them because, as I tell you, 65% of the children come up missing. So let's look at this. The government brings the children to them. They pick them up. They get $2,500. Then they get $3,800 a month per child for the entire time they're there. How long is a child on average in an adoption center? 2 to 5 years. Now, wait a second. You have 1.5 million Americans waiting for a child to adopt, but 600,000 to 800,000 a year are in adoption centers not being given out to these parents that want them. And where does a majority of them come from now? Oh, it's even easier now because we have literally about 1 million children coming across the border each year because in the Biden fake presidency, we have more, double as many per month as we did even during Obama's time. So you have about 1 million children a year that are available, but you can ask the question, if you have about 1 million children and they go to these foster homes, group homes, or adoption centers, where's the rest if only 600,000 to 800,000 of them are there? Here's what happens. They keep them there because if they have an illness, it isn't $50,000 a year, $40,000 to $50,000 a year. They get infinite money to take care of any medical problems for these children the entire time they're there. And then what do? You can call up these places like I did today. They will tell you on their site that they're going to charge $5,000 to $40,000 to hand that child over to you. If it's an infant, it's going to be the highest price. And if they had medical concerns, then all kinds of strange things happen. For instance, they'll keep the child under the auspices that the child has medical problems. And then when the child comes up missing, as 65% of them do, and these are government statistics, you can look them up yourself. What do? Then they keep the check each month. And they say that when the child appears again, they'll give it to the child. But until then, these non-government organizations literally pocket the money of the children who come up missing. So the catch and release policy at our southern border, of course, during the time that Trump was in office, it went down to the lowest, but now it's gone up to the highest with Biden there. And the catch and release, who are those that they're catching and releasing? Anyone who comes across the southern border with a child is caught and released because they have a child. So we know that those children are taken back across the border after they've come across once with an illegal alien, and then they're sold to other illegal aliens trying to get across the border. And if the child is so young they can't speak, all the better, then they can't even say their name, and then that illegal alien claims that's their child, and they get caught and released into this country. The coyotes take them back across the border, and they do this over and over and over again. And so this is the biggest scam you've ever seen in your life. This is child trafficking. And then what they do with the children when they come up missing, because they weren't missing, of course they know where they are. These children didn't run away from these placements. In fact, they have guards in these placements. And in many cases, I've been in many of these because I was a principal of a school that handled 10,000 students a year. A lot of them were these kind of foster children and so on and so forth. There's always guards there. You can't escape from one of these places. So in other words, they are literally letting them go, calling them runaways. And from there, I don't even want to describe to you what we know happens to them. They take them across the Canadian border to British Columbia in Canada. And what happens there, I'm not even going to describe. But we have a problem here in the state of Michigan in that yet another of the many, many Bethany Christian Service adoption centers is opening. And where do they like to put them? Out in the country usually, so no one can keep an eye on them. And then when they run away, they just can't find them. They'll do these adoption centers in cities, but in general, that's not where they warehouse the children. So what we're talking about is that Betsy DeVos, one of the number one donors, and by the way, these centers receive donations. They're 501c3s. They receive donations. They receive the Department of Health and Human Service money for refugees and just in general for any of their health needs. So these people, Bethany Christian Services, has been charged again and again with child trafficking, killing children, and duping the parents in countries that can send refugees to America for asylum by telling the parents that they're going to take care of their children while they're working. And the parents come back to the center and the children are gone. And then they're told, oh, don't worry. We sent your child to America, which means that you have a great possibility to then go to America and become an American citizen because your child is there. They don't reunite any child with any parent that they've stole these children from, whether it's coming across the border or from a refugee country. And Michael and the miners have been doing research on this to verify it. And I guess he jumped into this case with a bunch of the miners and did some research. But first, let's see if Dr. Beth can frame this picture for us of what's happening here in Michigan.
Great. Thank you, Douglas and Michael, for being willing to talk out on this very, very important topic. So we're located in central Michigan, where we have a small town called Alma, A-L-M-A, Alma, Michigan. And there's a huge Masonic home there for the elders. And then there's an additional building that they bought called the Warwick Center. Well, when the budget didn't work out after 2020, the fall of 2020, they told those elders that were in that home that it was time to go. They needed to find a new location in their other home or with their family or at another facility. Then they chose to make that building available for rent. And guess what? Bethany Christian Services offered that they'd love to bring the illegal immigrants, of course they don't use those words, children, boys age 12 to 17 to this facility for a 45-day route, 45-day loop. So they're going to come in, the promises, they're going to find them family members in the United States and reunite them with them or get them into foster care. But these young men move every 45 days from this facility to another facility. So the community people started doing some research, didn't care for what they saw with the Bethany Christian Services, and started to raise a ruckus because the only way this facility will work is if the zoning board will rezone it for a change of use. And so that's where we're at. There were 300 people, 200 to 300 people last night at the high school auditorium, and people were, you know, talking for both sides of, you know, let these poor children stay. The community wanted to be helpful, but I don't think the community members realize that there's no way that they're going to enter that facility. These boys are here for a short period of time. And there's a whole lot of cartel, a whole lot of crime involved, and a whole lot of nonprofit money exchange. And so that's where we're at here in Central Michigan.
Before you get started, Michael, I just want to point out, I didn't realize the age of the children you're dealing with. The biggest scam going on with unaccompanied youth is that MS-13, is that what it's called? MS-13 gang members lie about their age, come to the border, come into this country, get free transportation to one of these places, and then, yes, they may escape from those places and go right back to their crime. This is well known, and they literally create communities of crime from these supposed asylum seekers who are supposedly children. They're not children. If they're saying they're 17, I can guarantee you they're not 17. So you have yourself a horrible problem on your hands, and as you say, the crime is just going to skyrocket.
Well, I'm hoping that this exercise that you're involved in now can be a pattern for how citizens can start pushing back against this. Because I'll have to be honest, I have not focused tremendously on this issue of trafficking, except as it started creeping into our research as we were looking into the history of Boris Johnson and his family association with the YMCA. That's another subject, that's another organization, but we're now seeing this conjunction, this interlocking of various, quote, social services organizations. And unfortunately, what we've discovered of late is that the Salvation Army, as well as the YMCA and this Bethany Christian Services, and probably a host of others, are in a, I would call it a feeding trough of senior executive service money. And we're talking large amounts of money for these nonprofits. In the case of Salvation Army, we're seeing something over $2 billion of income from U.S. contracts alone has been given to them. And part of their activity is in this issue of trafficking, which Bethany is. And we looked at the Bethany statistics, and I'll have to tell you that that's a drop in the bucket compared to the YMCA and the Salvation Army's funding. Now, having been in a nonprofit organization and knowing what raising money is like, I've got to believe that these organizations, even if they started off with the best of intentions, have become a collection of grifters, because there's just too much money flowing into these organizations. And it's pretty clear, without knowing what Douglas just said about Bethany, our people were just looking at the data of the federal contracts that Bethany receives. And it's it was odd that a USAID contract stuck out. HHS, DHS, they have money coming in from multiple government agencies. But then there was this one contract for just under $1 million from for USAID activities in Ethiopia. And then we looked at the description of the activities, and any reasonable person would realize there's no reason why an American Social Services agency would have any involvement in Ethiopia if it wasn't for child trafficking. I mean, that's pretty obvious. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see this is going on. And so what we see here, I think, is the feeder system that these career bureaucrats have created for themselves. They what I see from a standpoint of an engineer and a businessman and an entrepreneur is I like to go out and do real work and do and create real business. What I see here is our bureaucrats have created an entirely different and parallel ecosystem for making money for themselves. And unfortunately, our children and adults are engaged, they are engaging our citizenry in what I'll call slave trade. This is nothing but slave trade, and sex abuse it comes along with it. But when we start looking at the history of the slave business, we saw that abuse, sexual abuse, sodomy, rape, whippings were key parts of the economy of the old British Empire. And as the British Empire then in America moved into the Industrial Revolution, they stopped needing the plantation type slaves. They needed factory slaves. And they also needed to feed their predilections for sodomy and rape and abusing human beings. And everything we can see about these statistics show us that we have our government is the one, the bureaucrats in our government are the ones that are actually funding this child trafficking. And a lot of our bureaucrats are making fortunes in the revenues off of the contracts that they get to supposedly do all of these great social works. So we see Bethany Christian Services. I haven't seen much Christian in anything that I've read about them since then. And I got to wonder, you look at their resume and you see a lot of people that were involved in organizations like World Vision. Well, I actually know a lot about World Vision years ago, back in the 70s. And I always considered them a reputable organization. But when you look at World Vision now, these people are feeding at the trough of government handouts. And when I think about World Vision, I think about Salvation Army, and I think about that warm and fuzzy view of somebody standing out in the cold, ringing a bell, asking for dimes. And when I see, by contrast, the fact that they've taken in over $2 billion of U.S. taxpayer money, we need to get those people off the streets because that's nothing but propaganda. That's what it's appearing like to us. And so this idea that you're putting a group home in Michigan, what we're doing with these UN-related, UNICEF-related relationships that these organizations have, what we are doing is we are allowing the United Nations to build embassies all over our country. That's what I see happening. And I hope, Dr. Beth, that your efforts up in Michigan can be a pattern for how we as citizens step up and start doing something about this, because we've let our bureaucrats run amok.
We certainly have. And one thing that I want to mention to add on to what you said is it is very clear that no one crosses the border from California across Texas, the Mexican border, without paying the cartel. And the cartel has an investment in bringing these young men up here to set up movement of drugs. The crime rate in, you know, the sanctuary cities of Lansing and Kalamazoo is through the roof. And the amount of cartel movement, you may think, oh, Michigan, it's so far from the border, that couldn't be an issue. No, they're throughout our country. And that's another element that ties into the whole sex trafficking, is how the cartels are going to make money on the movement of these children as well. And the sad thing is to see, for example, someone like Christy Hutcherson from Women Fighting for America spending 30 days down on the border and looking at rape trees, seeing backpacks for these children that come over with t-shirt, socks, lubrication, condoms. And these are little tiny t-shirts. It's so sick. I hesitate to say that on your show, but people need to know the truth. They need to know this whole system and how it interlocks and how it's tied to the drugs and the money.
Dr. Beth, how is this the county that's looking at the rezoning issue or the city, or and how do you think it's going to go?
Well, so it's happening within the city, and it will, if the planning board approves of this exemption, then it will go to the city board to be voted on again. So there's more opportunities for us to speak up and stop. I would say of the massive amount of people that were there last night, two-thirds of them had amazing points talking about, we don't even realize what we're getting into. We are getting involved with large, large companies in a small, small town that doesn't need it. There's so much need for hope, for help locally. There are children without homes. There are certainly a lot of problems throughout Michigan, and why we're bringing in illegal immigrants to house them in a temporary state were some of the big things that people talked about. But I don't think the local community, even like most people, don't even begin to have a grip on the size of the organization coming in, the amount of, we'll call it, money laundering going on. And
well, we just looked, there are 116 subsidiaries to Bethany, 116. And there are six Bethany entities in Michigan alone. So another obvious question is, well, of all these entities, which one is actually going to do this local activity, and who's responsible, and can you hold them responsible?
Where's the accountability? Exactly.
Our experience is with these interlocking organizations, they have so finessed their structures that nobody's accountable for anything.
Those were not even some of the questions that were brought up. It was such a heated, emotional discussion last night, and there will be opportunity for more, but there was no press coverage that I could see. That doesn't mean that there possibly weren't some folks in the audience taking notes, but there was, you know, for that many people, and to bring in the local peace, police officers to keep the peace, because it was a heated discussion previously, that there was absolutely no media coverage. So getting it out for folks to talk about. And I wonder how many communities don't even realize throughout the United States that this vacant building and this Christian organization coming in sounds so good to help the children, aren't even aware to check into it or to realize what they're connecting to, what they're seeding right in the middle of their communities.
There's so much to say here, Dr. Beth. These aren't Christian organizations. They do not promote Christianity in their adoption centers. They do not adopt to Christians. They have absolutely no consideration. They have been sued for not adopting to lesbian and homosexual parents, and now they have to do that. But in general, here's the way it's going to go. The city council will vote on this. They'll rezone it, and there'll be nothing you can do. And then when the following happens, which absolutely I can guarantee will happen, then the people in the community may wake up. For instance, the Democrats, Biden particularly, they promote crime. They don't even hold illegal aliens in prison, even when they murder people. They release them into the community. As I say, if they're teenagers and they say they're, you know, up to age 17, those are MS-13 gang members if they're coming across the board. That's 100% guaranteed. That's been proven. About 85% of the unaccompanied youth are, in fact, criminals. They're MS-13 gang members. So then about $1.7 billion the government pays out directly to these non-government organizations to do the work of a private corporation that you cannot win in a lawsuit with them because they're a corporation. No one is culpable. They simply go bankrupt. That's why they already have however many different organizations under Bethany that Michael just mentioned. And then $2.5 billion is spent for illegal aliens coming across the southern border, and over 25% of them are children. So we are spending multiple billions of dollars to move criminals from the triangle countries, which come across the border, into facilities that hold them, whether they be foster homes, adoption centers, or whatever, group homes, so on and so forth. But in fact, these people are making a ton of money. They're not going to be able to police these young, particularly men, because that's generally at that age, they're young men. And if you look at the statistics of how many children get adopted in America who are teenagers, it's almost nil. So let's look what's going to happen. If they do run away and they start committing crimes and they get put in jail in a juvenile detention center, which I used to work in a variety of them, they will be released. They will not be held because they are illegal aliens, and you actually technically cannot prosecute them because they're not citizens, okay? So then, as I just said, they release these people, and when they turn 17 and they actually become adults, where do they go? They go to adult refugee camps. And in those adult refugee camps, it is a military organization that's going on. Our dear friend Christopher Strunk is suing the state of New York because all around him, everywhere, he can hear the bombs and the guns going off as these adult refugee camps are training in a military way. And we just got to see on the freeway there in the East Coast, 11 of them, you know, they just decided to stop in the freeway and start shooting people. This is going, it's a lawlessness that's going on that we've never seen anything like this in American history. Basically, they're promoting crime. Basically, they're taking tax dollars for we the people and paying these corrupt organizations who say that they are Christian. Well, when we did the original research 2 years ago, there were 164 of them. Not one of them is connected to a church, but they all use a Christian name. They either say Christian, Lutheran, Catholic. The Catholic organizations, which is the majority of them, about over 80%, what do they say? They say they're Catholic. They're not Catholic at all. Not a single one of them. There is no such thing as a Catholic adoption center in America. And the refugees are the worst because they get paid so much money. Literally, if you imagine $50,000 a year, they sell the children for $40,000 and they keep them, say, 2 to 5 years. That's an average of three. So they make $150,000 and then another $40,000 when they sell them. And many times they run away and get brought back to the adoption center. The adopting parent drops them. They don't get their money back. That's cash money up front. They adopt them again. They can adopt them 4 and 5 times. So you are saying, so basically, an illegal alien coming across the border who's supposedly automatically seeking asylum, which is complete insanity. That is not true. And even if it was, it's still not legal, can bring Bethany Christian Services $100,000 to $200,000. For one single supposed orphan. They're not orphans. And then that's what's happening in your area, in Alma, but throughout the rest of the 32 states that they work in, they love to work with little babies who come in very sick from particularly Ethiopia, and they trick the parents, as I described before, and then that's who they can actually give out the quickest. Everyone wants a baby, right? Nobody wants a teenager. No one is going to adopt these children, especially if they have tattoos all over their body saying MS-13. And I guarantee you that is what you're going to get. Now, we know that Obama started this. And we know that, in fact, in some cases, he put them on planes, trains, and buses, sent them all over to rural communities. And in some cases, they were literally turned into slaves. So they would, in Ohio even, you'd think, oh, no, not in Ohio, this couldn't happen. They put them in chicken farms, lock them in at night, lock them in the daytime to work in the chicken farms, chain them up at night, and kept them there as slaves. And when they reach the age, which you can keep them till 18 or even 19 under certain circumstances, they simply release them into the community. Where are they going to go? Well, they're going to go to the Salvation Army, the YMCA. They're going to go to any place that is also should be called a government organization because of the money they're given. And from there, they are absolutely apt to be trafficked for slavery, organ harvesting, sex slaves, and also literally captured and sent out of the country. And the major place they're sent to is China. So the tennis shoes that we're wearing are often made by the children who came through our system, couldn't get adopted, released into the public, and then disappear, and then end up, in fact, in foreign countries being slaves. That's what's going to happen there in Alma. I hope the people there understand this. But the city council members, I think your strongest point is to say to them, not a one of you has spent 10 minutes online looking up Bethany Christian Services, or you will know that they are the most criminal adoption organization in America. That is your strongest suit. And also pointing out the statistics we're talking about here, it is almost 100% guaranteed that it will be as bad as I'm saying or worse.
Well, those are the tips that we need. We need to have the language. We need to have the key points to talk to these people to make them realize you cannot just say this is a Christian organization and have a happy face and move on. You have to do research. You have to see what organizations are coming into your community, how they're funded, how those children are being moved across. There are so many greater needs in the United States for these buildings, and the communities want to help. We want to be in a situation where we can actually help these, our local children, our children from our own country, and there's no access to these children. They're in, they're out, they're lost in the system. We are not being a community helping children by allowing this into our area.
There are some practical ways to deal with this as well. One of them is to ask these organizations to see their insurance policies, their liability insurance policies, and specifically to ask who is legally and fiscally accountable for this presence that's proposed to come into your agency. What we looked at with Dun & Bradstreet with Bethany was shocking. The person that was listed as the key principal on Bethany Christian Services was a person that's not even shown on the leadership website for Bethany. So there is a lot of lying, a lot of deception, a lot of covering your rear end that goes on in any of these large corporations, especially the ones that are doing illegal activity. They're never going to give you a responsible person. You're going to get a patsy at best. You're going to get somebody that's cut out to put in front of the organization. But when you actually look at, are they fiscally responsible? You're looking at somebody that's got to be an officer of the corporation. And so that's what people can ask about with these agencies is, okay, who's responsible for this contract if we give it to you? And we want to see your bonding. We want to see your insurance. And then we want to see all the exemptions in your insurance, because I guarantee you that if they have insurance, there are going to be so many exemptions that the insurer is going to make sure they never pay out. And those are the practical things that accountants can get on right away with these people. We need more of our accountants to get involved and start digging around this information and stop being so lazy. Because this is your future of your community here, and accountants know where to go looking to find this kind of corrupt information. And I don't see much of that happening yet. I hope it starts.
It really needs to happen, and there needs to be investigation from this one nonprofit, Bethany Christian Services, into this very local and trusted nonprofit, the Masonic Home. Because I think if you do your thing there and you've done your research, you know that there's a lot going on within that organization as well. So I think they're doing a behind the scenes win-win. You're going to cover our rent, that's going to cover our mortgage, that's the surface explanation. But why did those elders have to leave? There's so much to be answered here.
The facts are these adoption centers have absolutely no oversight. Zero. There is no government agency that has oversight. Once they reach that adoption center, their children are on their own. You made a great point. Why don't we use those adoption centers to handle the approximate 140,000 students that literally are orphans in America and do need a home? they are basically being left in foster homes. Now, if you know about foster homes like I do, I can tell you the most horrifying stories. You will think that I'm making them up of what these foster parents do. They can get 5-6 foster children. Literally, in some cases, they keep them in cages. They lock them up. They feed them dog food. And that's what American orphans are experiencing. But a refugee who brings so much money to these corrupt adoption centers, well, they're happy to take in anyone that they can, because even if they run away, they keep the check. Each month, they keep the check. This is well known. As a matter of fact, we did a report a couple years ago where, first off, we were shocked by what had hit the news, which was a bunch of reporters had started looking into the lives of refugees who came to America. And of the 200,000 families that were allowed into America, I think it was the last year of Obama's term, there were two families that could be found. Where are the rest of the 200,000 people? These agencies simply keep the check. And what do they say when they were asked? They say, well, they ran away and we don't know where they are. We don't know their location. So we keep the check in case they come back. And since there's no oversight, no one ever asks for it back. And in some centers with their young children, they claim that there are fantastic medical bills. And then the Department of Health and Human Services, particularly for refugees, pay those medical bills. Plus, remember, these children get free medical. They'll get free schooling. These children will be sent. Now, hang on to your hat, Alma. These children will be sent to your local schools, period. That's the way it works. The adoption centers don't provide education. They must be sent to a local school. I know I used to provide for over 28 different schools the educational services in these homes. And in fact, no one else provided it. So the children illegally went without education or in lockup situations. You must provide education within 2 weeks of them being put in these centers. And almost everyone is in violation. I know this. I was a superintendent of an organization that provided these services.
Can I ask if that issue came up last night?
You know, it did. And because it was public comment, there was no one to answer any of the questions. And so those have to be pressed. Those, all the questions that were asked that had not been answered need to be pressed. And I don't know when that opportunity is going to arise. So basically the public has to comment to the board, hoping the board will turn around and ask those questions to Bethany, but we need to be there and witness of that to make sure that is asked. But yes, someone came up and said, will they be entering school? But it was just public comment. So no response was given.
Well, so somebody needs to come up with a list of the 10 key questions that have to be answered.
But you're going to make a 2-minute public comment and there'll be no answer from the city council. And in almost all the cases that I know of, these children are shipped to small rural towns where the city council or the county makes these decisions in absolute ignorance. And they don't understand that what they're going to put out in their social services, what they have to provide through social services, through education, and particularly in your case there in Alma, your law enforcement bill is going to be more than you can, it will crush the city. It will crush the city. If you get, as you're saying, at least 40 of these, 40 MS-13 gang members take over cities, not little tiny, out in the rural area cities. No, we're talking about Long Island cities. We're talking about major cities. A few of these people, a few of these MS-13 gang members get together and they take it over. Now, if you go up to 100 to 200 of these, there is no way it will crush that city just handling law enforcement. For instance, look at what's already happening. They had to hire probably, law enforcement agents off duty to come just to keep the normal people who were coming to make their comments to calm them down. What's going to happen when you have 100 gang members? Because almost all the children coming across who are unaccompanied minors, who are teenagers, are gang members, and they're coming here to sell drugs, to kill people. If they haven't read the news, someone needs to just get a newspaper or go on the internet and prove to them that they are headed towards a law enforcement apocalypse if they do this.
Well, what do you gentlemen think? Because we know we know that they've been trained, we know that they've been indoctrinated, whether they wanted to be or not, this is part of the system. Is there a strategic positioning throughout states that allow it for these small group homes to get started for some greater plan that has not yet been revealed to us? In Albion, Michigan, there's already a Bethany Christian Service Center. Two of the local women from Gratiot County, which is where Elma is located, went and could not get into the facility. It was being patrolled by armed guards. So if these children are in need of help, why are there armed guards, like you said earlier, to keep them inside? It makes you wonder what the long-term plan is with stationing these facilities throughout our rural areas, but also a good positioning between a town like Mount Pleasant and Lansing, you know, 30 minutes in either direction, and you're tied into the big city systems of drugs. And one of the women that spoke there, very, very knowledgeable from Lansing, was talking about the crime in Lansing. And she said, when these people are released from these facilities, they go hide in communities of color where there's already a crime rate, where there's already systems set up, and then they just further the problems there.
I was the superintendent of a whole bunch of strict discipline academies, including juvenile detention facilities, a lot of them. And strict discipline academies, we were the only ones in the state of Michigan that could handle these students. And we had to have absolutely amazingly intensive law enforcement there. We had to have trained staff that were ready to have fights every day, riots, you name it. I've seen it all. I've seen it close up and personal. I'm not talking off the top of my head. And what happened to the strict discipline academies? When I retired, they all faltered. Now, the only ones that exist are the ones in prisons, or as they call it, juvenile detention facilities. Why? Because it is an educational task which is almost insurmountable. And when you have non-willing participants who are literally illegal aliens coming across the border with criminal intent, that is beyond your imagination. It is much, much worse than adult prisons and much, much harder to deal with. And the things that you will witness in these strict discipline academies, which you will never be able to enter into any of those, or in this case, they're calling them adoption centers, but they'll have to provide education for them. And when they get expelled from the school, which they will be if they're these criminals that I'm describing, then they'll have to be a system set up where that city or that county will have to attempt, as many have, and most, if not all, fail to set up a strict discipline academy for these students, because that's the law. You have to do that. And if they speak a foreign language, then you have to hire people who speak that language. And it's unbelievable, the restrictions on education. You don't get to educate the children when you're in a strict discipline academy. All you're doing is warehousing children and trying to keep them from harming the teachers, the staff, everyone who's there to service them, because nothing happens to them. I mean, I cannot tell you. You may think I'm exaggerating, but I would have students who had killed 7 people. And when they reach 18, they are released, because when they killed them, they were juveniles. And that is not held against you. You are released into the public no matter how many people you have killed while you're below age 18. 18, when one day they walk out, and what do? The recidivism rate is unbelievable. They immediately go out, and I have seen this, I would say thousands, but you think I'm exaggerating, hundreds of times, where these students, even when we provided them a good education, the first thing they did is walk over to the 7-Eleven, walk over to the convenience store and rob it. First thing they do. And it's just an inherent nature, and they know nothing is going to really happen to them, but they end up, first offense, as an adult, they get put in prison, in jail, and released immediately because it was the first offense. And so then they get educated in that system, and basically you're not going to be able to contain them. That's just the way that it is. It's one of the biggest problems in education, and it's the reason that for the last 11 years of my decades of being an educator, I thought, well, you know, maybe I can help these children. Well, I tell you, it's shocking. For instance, I'll give you an example. There is a program for these children. So as soon as they can graduate in high school, when they get out, what happens? They get a full scholarship to any state college. And you know what they do? They go there, and one of the first things they might do is rape someone, kill someone in the colleges where your children are going to school. So this problem of law enforcement is almost untenable. It's almost unsolvable. And Alma and its city council is facing something. They think they're going to get more taxes from Bethany Christian Services. Those taxes will not pay a tiny bit of a fraction of what it is they're going to have to put out to deal with these children. Both.
Douglas, there's no taxes. This is a nonprofit building. There's not even any taxes collected. And as you're saying, these children are so traumatized. They're so traumatized, and the help that they need is not going to be what they receive. And then they have a debt to the cartel for getting them across. And so many of them, the moment they get out, they're looking to steal, to they're afraid that if they don't come up with the $2,000 to $6,000 that are owed to the cartel for allowing them across the line, then they're going to die. So they are in the fight of their life looking for any place that they can get this money to get themselves secure.
Well, I'm sure you have a lot of people that know about how to handle these kinds of issues, but I would suggest that somebody come up with a top 10 list of things that have to be addressed and print that out and widely distribute it so that the average person on the street can at least read what the issues are. So they're not, you can't wait till a hearing, because most of those public hearings are not run very well. People don't get a chance to really say what they think. They get nervous. They stutter. They don't get the whole point out. So you've got to get it out in writing and educate people as to what the real issues are. And then if people choose after all that to allow this, well, at least they were informed.
That's true. Very true. Very true.
So you're dealing with one of the largest adoption organizations in America. I was trying earlier to calculate how much money they probably make a year, but it is amazing. So if you try to stand up against them, you probably will lose. You don't have enough money to pay the lawyers to fight them. And the city council members, as I said, are probably extraordinarily naive. They don't have a clue. And they hear adoption, they hear Christian, and they say, yeah, come on in. We're good Christians, and we're going to help these poor children. But even the one seeking asylum from Ethiopia, which is their favorite place to take them from Bethany Christian Services, those children are lied to, even if they are teenagers. And then what happens? They become extraordinarily angry that they don't get reunited with their family, because they're not orphans in most cases. They want to be reunited. They are not reunited. And then they become even more angry.
Makes sense. Thank you, gentlemen. We're gonna work towards that list of the top 10. We're going to pull in the key people that are in opposition to this for the community and get even more organized. And I hope that by our discussion today, other folks around the country are looking at organizations moving in with these names and waking up, paying attention, and then maybe that list of questions will be the perfect thing that they need to turn it around before it even gets to the point of making it to a zoning board.
Dr. Beth, Michael, thank you. This is shocking for many, but we must wake up, because this is happening in our communities all over America, and we must get together some kind of program to fight it. So Absolutely. Thank you for being willing to discuss this with us today.
Thank you so much.